broadcasting around the entire world. From Austin, Texas, via Simplecast, and supported by listeners like you. Bitcoin, billions, stellar, trading, mining, markets, FUD, sharing, forks, millions, bytes, wise. Keeping you up to date on everything crypto. Welcome to Thriller News. Now here is your host, Carl Gonzalez.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls from around the world, gather around. It's time for another episode of Thriller News. Today is October 2nd, 2019. I'm Carl Gonzalez, and we are talking Mark Zuckerberg defending Libra. That's right, it's today's crypto top story.
Crypto top stories.
So Mark Zuckerberg, that's right, the CEO, chairman, founder, co-founder, maybe, depends, is currently having some problems, especially with Libra and other things as well too. There is a amount of seven different audio clips that were leaked today to The Verge. Among them was a notable Libra audio clip. That's right, where he's actually talking about Libra, the cryptocurrency. And this comes at the heels of major Libra backers like Visa and MasterCard, who are now second guessing their participation with the project. And we have not only Visa and MasterCard that are second guessing it, but there's also these European central banks who said that Libra could destabilize the euro. And then even China's crypto czar called it potentially unstoppable. Then you have US congressional representatives have called for an outright freeze on its development. Now, everybody has taken shots at Libra, myself included. And David Marcus has done everything he can to defend the wall that is Libra. But finally, we actually hear Mark Zuckerberg talk about why he is opposed to all these views on Libra and how it will impact the world.
The public things, I think, tend to be a little more dramatic, but a bigger part of it is private engagement with regulators around the world, and those, I think, often are more substantive and less dramatic, and they're not being, those meetings aren't being played for the camera, but it's that's where a lot of the discussions get and details get hashed out on things.
So he's talking about backdoor deals. No, I'm not sure if he's talking about that, but it sounds like that's what he's saying. Ultimately, Libra has started addressing regulatory concerns by making tweaks to its technology and policies, such as its anti-money laundering policy for its wallets. And then you have Visa and MasterCard. If those two companies don't participate, will others decide not to join the Libra Association? The only company that actually came out and said that they were still involved with Libra is Stripe. They said, we agreed to work on the charter with these other participants. We continue to work on the charter. We're still actively involved. So there's one particular person that had a really good take on how and why these countries will be forced to use Libra, most notably the US. And it all comes down to a basket of currencies, says Spencer Bogart of Blockchain Capital. Take a listen.
So Spencer, you heard there, of course, Zuckerberg defending Libra. Generally, around Libra and all these cryptocurrencies, what is the general tone when it comes to working with regulators right now?
Sure. Well, I mean, keep in mind, in the case of something like a Bitcoin, there is no one to go and work with a regulator, and that's part of the point here. And I think highlights some of the differences in design that something like a Libra has, where it has to kind of go and ask for permission. Now, do I think Libra could be a very interesting project? Absolutely. Do they have their work cut out for them as far as trying to kind of appease all the various regulators? Most definitely.
So your analysis, which struck me, said that it would actually increase dollarization.
Yeah.
Why?
Sure. Well, I mean, if you look at the underlying Libra basket, right, they've published like roughly what that would look like, and it's 50% USD. And if we think that a lot of the holders of this might be people outside the US, particularly potentially people, and again, the purpose here is to help unbanked populations, well, all of a sudden they would have an access to USD where they previously have not. So while many people in Congress, as you saw when David Marcus went and testified before Congress, many of the senators were concerned about whether this would lead to, whether it would infringe on the dollar's reserve currency status. Mm-hmm. And in fact, in the short to medium term, it would actually probably help cement that status.
And I think your takeaway, which seems smart, is that regardless of what happens with Libra, the general theme of this isn't going away, that there will be some sort of crypto or a coin or a currency that investors or people are looking to use instead of the dollar, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think in the case of Libra, right, it is still backed by all these fiat currencies, and I think we're going to see more efforts out there. So we see some of them from the large crypto exchanges like a Binance that has kind of a competing effort. And I think that we're going to see more quote-unquote shots on goal here of people trying to roll out an effort like this, and maybe from someone a little bit less contentious than a Libra. But I still think Libra has a good chance of getting off the ground.
Yeah, and definitely Spencer is onto something right there. I think people around the world, and especially regulators around the world, especially with all these countries, do not realize that Libra and Facebook and other technology companies are actually doing them a favor right now. They're actually trying to use the dollar, right? This might be the last big rally we see for the dollar. This might be the last focused attention that people with extremely high-level skill set of creating blockchains and other cryptocurrency digital assets gives attention to, something like the digitalization of the United States dollar or the digitalization of the euro, for that matter. Another thing I want to mention is Mark Zuckerberg needs to do a little bit more talking outside of leaked audio clips. It's like, come on, dude, you're like one of the richest people in the world. You can say whatever you want. Like, seriously, go out there and say what you want about Libra. Don't let anybody stop you. At least that's my 2 cents. All right, let's get into crypto rapid fire.
Crypto rapid fire, just in case you missed it.
So first up is Cardano. That's right, Cardano and IOHK CEO Charles Hoskinson announced a partnership with sneaker manufacturer New Balance at the Cardano Summit in Bulgaria on Saturday. He said, "For a little while, we've been working with a shoe company. Do you guys know New Balance? We're working on an authentication product with the Cardano blockchain." That's great news. Tim Harrison of IOHK said that IOHK is collaborating with New Balance on an authentication pilot project. This is a consumer-level verification solution which will allow purchasers to confirm the authenticity of footwear on distributed ledger technology. That's great news. And it's actually good to see another company besides IBM get involved with courting all of these regular manufacturers to use DLT. And then in our next piece of news, it looks like cryptocurrency protocol Stellar has announced that it intends to remove its inflation feature in an upcoming upgrade. That's right. They said, "After listening to what everyone had to say and weighing the pros and cons, here's what the SDF is asking validators to consider. We think it's a good idea to disable the current inflation mechanism. We've implemented a change in version 12 of Stellar Core that would do just that, and we encourage validators to vote to accept it." They also said that 5 years and several million accounts later, it's clear that inflation doesn't serve this purpose, which in the beginning, they actually thought that people would set their inflation address to cryptocurrency projects to donate. But they said that rather than sending inflation to projects building on Stellar, the majority of people just join pools in order to claim that inflation for themselves if they set their inflation destination at all. So that version upgrade is going to get rolled out here on October 28th. So we'll see if validators decide to move on to that version or if we see a potential rollback without that implementation of removing inflation. Either way, it's going to be interesting. Next up, we have the SEC fining and settling with Block One to pay $24 million in penalties for conducting an unregistered initial coin offering, or an ICO. On September 30th, the SEC announced in a press release that it had settled the charges against the firm behind the EOS network and corresponding token in the form of civil monetary penalty. Block One settled the charges without admitting or denying the findings. And then today, Saya, that's right, reaches a $225,000 SEC settlement over 120,000 unregistered token sale. So Boston-based Nebulous, makers of the Saya network for decentralized data storage, has settled with the United States Security Exchange Commission. And this is all coming at a really hard time for somebody like Ken, who just recently closed down their messaging platform because they wanted to fight the SEC. full gamut with only their token intact. And with more fines and charges getting sent out this week, we have the United States Commodity Futures Trading Commission, that's right, the CFTC, revealing that John Barry Thompson of Easton, Pennsylvania, is charged with knowingly and recklessly making false representations to customers in connection with the purported purchase of Bitcoin's worth over $7 million. The official document alleges that, contrary to his claims, neither Thompson nor a company with which he was affiliated with had possession or control over the Bitcoins that he pledged to deliver to two clients. The agency claims that after receiving the client's funds, Thompson sent virtually all of the money to some third parties. The mentioned BTC has not been delivered to the clients, while their funds were not safeguarded as promised. Thompson is further accused of having lied to these customers about the location of the Bitcoins, the reasons the transaction was not completed, and the status of their funds. The case was brought before the court in connection with the CFTC's Division of Enforcement Virtual Currencies Task Force. The agency seeks restitution, disgorgement, civil monetary penalties, permanent trading and restrictive bans, and a permanent injunction against all further violations of the CFTC regulations and Commodity Exchange Act. They're going full force. And finally, our last piece of news, it looks like tech billionaire, that's right, billion with a capital B, Mark Cuban is against Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, as he just did a Wired interview, Ask Me Anything questions, where he was asked about crypto and Bitcoin and why he's so against it. Take a listen.
Here's the thing about crypto, particularly Bitcoin. Bitcoin is worth what somebody will pay for it. Did you ever see someone who collected baseball cards and they were really, really, really proud of their baseball cards because they kept on saying they were going to go up in price? Comic books, same thing, even artwork. There's no real intrinsic value. You can't eat a baseball card or shouldn't eat a baseball card. Your artwork might look good on the wall, but not much you can do with it. Bitcoin, there's even less you can do with it. At least I can look at my baseball card and go, ooh, that's my favorite player. That's Roberto Clemente. I can look at artwork and go, crypto is a key that is so complicated for 99% of the population. Do you put it in a device? Do you print it out? How do you keep from being hacked? Who's going to host it for you? It's just so difficult that it's only worth what somebody will pay for it. So I say it's like gold. Gold's a religion. Now, people who are really into gold, they'll tell you that there's a bad depression and things go to hell in a handbasket. If you own gold, then you'll be okay. No, you won't. You carry around a gold bar, someone's going to hit your ass, knock you out, and steal your gold bar, and that's going to happen again and again and again. I'd rather have bananas. I can eat bananas. Crypto, not so much. Look, I can make a great argument for blockchain. There's a lot of applications and they'll be used, but you don't need public Bitcoin, BTC. You can create blockchain on your own without using all the available cryptocurrencies. It's not that I'm against cryptocurrencies. You just have to be very careful. At best, they're a store of value. Thanks, Coins or Die.
Yeah, you have to be very careful. Unlike regular fiat printed money, where there is no limitation to how much they can print. But be careful with Bitcoin, though, because it's definitely not the people's currency. Okay, and then, so when it comes to Mark, I think a lot of people need to realize that he is somebody that is very bullheaded. And he doesn't like things because he says he's looked into it. And take his word for it. Kind of like Warren Buffett in that way. Don't worry, I know what I know, and I've looked into it. So take my word. I'm the Omaha of Oracle. Oracle of Omaha. And I know what I'm talking about. I've been right in this bull stock market for the past 50 years. So no need to look any further. So he's like Warren in that kind of sense, right? I mean, he thinks he knows everything. He's seen everything. And he's been around for a very long time. And frankly, he's won every single thing he's ever tried to attempt to do in his life, right? He's a winner. And winners don't know nothing else than winning. That's what Mark is. And here recently on the latest edition of Shark Tank, he shows how arrogant he can be sometimes when it comes to knowing everything and being right. Take a listen.
I'm so frustrated. I have no idea. I really don't know what your business is. I don't know what your strategy is. I really don't know anything. Mark, sometimes your level of arrogance really pisses me off. And I only say that. You don't give people a chance. I wish I knew what their business was if you would let people talk.
You know what their product is, Robert?
Your level of arrogance sometimes just surrounds the room, and you're
I'll
a great
guy. I'll be respectful
guy,
to you, Robert. I won't say what I'm thinking.
People. It intimidates people. And I'm just telling you, you might be 100% right. I just wish I had the opportunity to hear it. I know how hard people work to get on that
floor. What's even harder, Robert?
And you don't give them a chance.
You know what's even harder?
I'm out.
Yeah, so that was on the first episode of this season, and it was kind of surprising to see that happen and just on the show. And then to see this come out this week was also surprising. I really do like Mark, but I think it's hilarious that he had his own broadcast.com company in the late 90s, and he sold it to Yahoo for billions when there was really no need or there really wasn't an opportunity to even stream live video at the time. He just found somebody willing to pay a higher price for an existing piece of technology that was a no-go, that wouldn't become a go until like 10 years later with the launch of YouTube. So funny how he is almost saying exactly what others were probably saying to him at that time. With that, let's get into Crypto YouTube.
Crypto YouTube, the world of Crypto YouTube, the world of Crypto YouTube, the world of Crypto YouTube.
So we're always hearing about how Latin American countries have a specific opportunity when it comes to Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. And Coinbase just went on location to talk to the founder of Satoshi Tango about building out a cryptocurrency and Bitcoin ecosystem in Argentina. Take a listen.
From all your experience, how it's really moving the cryptocurrency in Argentina?
From my perspective, we can separate two different things. We are a 40 million people country. Unfortunately, this is we have poverty around 30%, 35%, depends on the moment. So the whole market is not that big as market. It's not the United States with 300 million people and booming economy. So the market is not that big. But what we do have is an amazing entrepreneur scene. Worldwide companies, mining farms, we have brokerage companies, exchanges, wallets. We have people doing different type of things around the world in the same ecosystem, which is the Bitcoin ecosystem. So when we talk about the market in Argentina, I need to separate the market, the people buying and selling Bitcoin. Of course, it is big compared to other countries, but we are a 40 million people country.
Talking about the entrepreneurial scene, okay, yes, you are right. Argentina, in fact, has a lot of entrepreneurs and startups, but let's talk about impact now. From your perspective, how much impact does having that many startups? The last number I read was over 200 startups only dedicated to fintech here in Argentina. So what is the real impact of having that many businesses working about that in here? Does that boost adoption of some kind?
Many fintech companies has a very huge impact. Many of them are simply a new way to do things. Coindesk is a news website. 20 years ago, it was unthinkable. And so many companies are making the difference because they offer services to unbanked people. And many companies are just a new user experience for different people. Banks have 150 years around the world. It's like a 150-year industry. So they had to adapt. There are many startups, not only in the fintech space, but in any space that are changing the way we do things. Many of them have an impact and many of them don't.
Something very interesting that I learned about your company is that Satoshi Tango was directly linked to the financial instability in Argentina. What is the impact of this instability that we are seeing right now in the statistics of transactions in Satoshi Tango?
When we first started, there was capital controls here in Argentina. And we thought that many of our customers were using our website to escape those controls. We had an election, the government changed, and they ended the capital controls. And surprisingly, we started to have many more users. So, of course, some malfunctioning in the country can make us, due to the nature of our business, can make us have a little bit more volume, more users, because they need some other ways to do things that the country is not allowing them because of the crisis, because of devaluation, inflation, capital controls, whatever. When you have economic stability, companies are booming. You can take advantage of crisis and instability at some point, but it will be much better for us as a country, as a society, as a company, as well, to live in a stable country with a more stable variables.
Yes. Do you think that we could get to an agreement that perhaps economical crises are a good way to develop new solutions? Like, you get more creative in that sense, but it's not a way for your company to actually grow once you start to working on that solution.
Exactly as you said. And let me tell you this. Unfortunately, our country, Argentina, is a place with constant crisis. Every 10 years, every 15 years, we have a really big crisis. We need to use our brain to escape inflation, hyperinflation, capital controls, or whatever. So. Yes, of course. The country, the society, uses its creativity to come up with new ideas. And that's why when you travel around and you see people from Argentina that had to leave the country because of, well, the reasons, and usually they are successful people.
So, recently, I read that the Bitcoin market here in Argentina was up for 400%. Okay, right. Have you ever seen these numbers before? Why is this happening?
We've only seen those numbers back in 2017 with the Bitcoin fever around the world that took the price to almost $20,000. As I said, when you have this type of crisis, devaluation and increasing inflation, then, well, last Monday here in Argentina, we have a 35% currency devaluation. So people started to buy cryptocurrency, and that's why we had the 400% increase in volume last week. It was crazy. Of course, we benefit from that activity because it's a higher volume for us, but it relies on a country that is in malfunction. So it's not something to be that happy. Of course, our company can grow, but the country is imploding. So, you know.
That's the picture I have in my mind. Like,
it's like selling coffins when you have a plane crash. Yes, of course you sell coffins. That's your job. But you're not happy that 200 people died. Well, we are not happy that the country it's in the middle of a huge crisis. We are 3 months away from a presidential election. So hopefully we'll have a smooth transition. And the country will start, you know, stabilizing again and start growing, hopefully, I don't know.
And Argentinians are known for not trusting their national currency due to rising inflation, currently over 50%, and its repeated devaluations and collapses. People in this country prefer to convert their savings into dollars in a bid to preserve their earnings, and many also prefer to keep their savings in cash under a mattress instead of using a bank. So could Bitcoin really help counter inflation? Well, in financial markets like in Argentina, where it's mostly uncertainty, inflation, and volatility, and government controls make the local currency unappealing for the local population, Bitcoin has an opportunity to give them a way to opt out of that current system. Okay, with that, let's get into crypto Twitter. That's right.
Crypto Twitter. 克里吉托Twitter,
Crypto Twitter,
Crypto Twitter,
Crypto Twitter.
And it was an interesting week on Crypto Twitter as everybody was giving their take on the SEC fines that were issued out. Jimmy Song says, much like taxation, fines are just a form of government seizure of wealth. SEC has signaled to every altcoin out there that there are centralized single points of failure and they should settle with them. This is why centralization sucks. You get shaken down by the more powerful. Bitcoin is still unaffected. We also have David Michaels says, busy day for the SEC. Second to last business day of fiscal year, fines announced today in administratively settled matters roughly equals to $75 million. We also have Crypto Michael IT says, I ironically believe that the SEC fine of EOS is extremely, tremendously bullish for crypto. Small fines after big grifts is what happens when the government thinks an industry is going to keep bringing in revenue for the people that matter. It means the SEC believes in crypto has a future. We also have Bruce Fenton. He says 100%. If you want more big government fines in a new industry, go to a Bernie Sanders rally. The spirit of crypto is best served by a few fines as possible. I can't believe the ignorance of people calling for more government. It's already far too much. And our last one is from Moon Overlord. He says, people, for the last 2 years, the SEC is about to lock up all these bad actors and clean up this wasteland, influencers and ICOs for prison. And the SEC says, all right, guys, everyone get along. ICOs are cool. No fines really for anybody. Everything is chill. Crypto is chill too. See ya. Yeah, my whole take is that I feel like the SEC and the CFTC have kind of ramped up their fines and charges here in the past like 9 months. We've seen an uptick. And I think no one's paying attention to that. I think we're going to see more of it. And I definitely think there's going to be a big charger fine coming here pretty soon. I wouldn't be surprised if it was towards Ripple or a company like that. With that, let's get into Coin 360.
Crypto 360 weather report.
So we have a total coin market cap of 219 billion. That's right, 219 billion. We have a Bitcoin dominance at 67.7%. We got Bitcoin at $8,280. Got Ethereum at $176. We got XRP at 24 cents. And Bitcoin Cash at $225. If we look at our 24-hour change on the red, we got Crypterium. That's right, up 14%. Zilla something is up 12%. We got Bitcoin up 11% and Mona Coin up 7%. If we look at our 24-hour change on the red, we have Nash Exchange down 11%, Bitcoin Diamond down 9%, Bit Capital Vendor down 9%, Energy down 8%, and Lambda down 8%. Yeah, total market cap is looking kind of bullish right now, I would say, but we still have a long week ahead. With that, let's get on to the end of the show.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, another Thriller News is Dunsies. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate you. If you get a chance this week, head over to ThrillerX.com. We have over 325,000 episodes. No, it's like 300 something plus of episodes that we've covered throughout the years. Check them out. Listen to them. Fan them. Share them. Do all that kind of stuff. And remember, it might look cruel out there in this crazy world, but Bitcoin is there to save you. So buy it and save the entire world.
This is the end of the show. You have been listening to Thriller Podcast with Harv Gonzalez. Remember, Thriller Podcast is not financial advice. Everything Harv said likely won't come true. It is up to you. Now go, do your own research. Listen to other dudes that start their name with crypto and not Harv. And remember, buy Bitcoin and save the world. One Satoshi at a time.